Welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast. Today we're going to look at the further demise of Ben Cousins. Should there be priority picks in the AFL? And if so, what form should they take? Can West Coast lock down a place in the top two? Can Fremantle bounce back after the horror of last weekend's game in Geelong? We're brought to you by Tab Touch and we'll be talking to you shortly.
You're quite brilliant.
Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is.
The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello Thursday, which means it's time for the second edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast. Brought to you by Tab Touch. Glenn Quatermain, the erstwhile sports editor of the Sunday Times, sitting with me in the studio here. I'm Mark Duffield, the senior footy writer at the West Australian. Quarters, sad day yesterday, another episode in the Ben Cousins saga. And probably some of the most disturbing allegations we've seen made about Ben and his current state.
That's the scourge of this drug, Duff. All drugs, really, but this one in particular. This is where it leads. Let it be a valuable lesson to all kids and everyone, really. But very sad, and I tend to agree that perhaps institution is the safest place for Ben right now and for others.
Yeah, I think, if you get to a point where you're making threats,
yep,
which he is alleged to have done, then it does. I'm not sure that they have much option. I cross my fingers and hope and pray that one day Ben wakes up and is prepared to make the commitment. And I think the problem with this drug is that it's a commitment you have to make every day, pretty much, to stay clean. And that's a big commitment. But I hope that one day he gets to a point where he's prepared to do that. But clearly, that is not where he's at the moment. And unfortunately, this has led to another sad chapter in all of this. So,
and if anything good can come of it, then let it be a lesson to people that you can be Australia's most prominent athlete, which he was when he won the Brownlow medal, which he's purported to have wanted to sell. And look where drugs lead you. So it's a lesson for
everybody.
Yeah,
and they do not discriminate.
No, they don't.
That's the thing. People may think they do, but they do not. And hopefully, as you say, if there is some good to come out of this sad thing, then it is a lesson to others. Stay well clear. All right. Priority draft picks. Let's get on to that.
Absolute mess. Well, what's the
formula? Should we have them? Should we not have them?
Well, I don't think clubs should be forced to put submissions forward.
So the AFL should decide.
There's a concrete formula. I'm led to believe under AFL rules it's not a submission situation. But where is the concrete formula now?
Well, there used to be, didn't there?
They did.
And I think it was an average of 5 games a season over 2 seasons.
During Ian Collins' time, I think.
If you'd won that or less, then you were eligible for a priority pick.
So we need to come down. Now, what that is, I'm not sure, but clearly, over a period of years, there could be an argument for not playing finals for a period of years. Whatever it is, there needs to be a formula that you know, and that's it. That's concrete. Suggestions now that 4 clubs might put up their hands for priority picks is rich and will not happen. Gold Coast, Carlton, yes, I fully agree. But
there's no way Brisbane should.
Well, Brisbane shouldn't. I mean, They've been highly competitive this year.
And I heard St Kilda was thinking about
Please.
It. St Kilda won 11 and 12 games before this year.
What did Ian Healy say to Ranatunga when he had the runner? Well, I won't repeat the complete quote. Let's just say you don't get a runner for being unfit.
Yeah, well, that's a rough version of... actually, no, that's a very smooth version.
Well, that's all I'm going with today, Duff, and that's what I'm saying with St Kilda. 23 wins over the previous 2 seasons. They've been crap this year. You don't get a priority pick because of that. That's just nonsense.
I think a more accurate version is you don't get a runner just because you're a fat, lazy...
Overweight.
Person.
Not nice person. Exactly. Yeah. And Brisbane, no, but Gold Coast and Carlton, definitely yes. We've got to come up with a formula that, that's steadfast. We know what it is and there's no dispute at all over it. And certainly asking clubs to put up their hand. We've seen the mess that it got Carlton into this year.
Yep.
Should be taken out of their hands.
Okay. If you do have priority picks,
yep,
there's appear to be 3 possible ways of implementing this.
Another mess, yeah.
So you either get them at the very start of the draft, like Hawthorn were able to do when they got, that's the Buddy Roughhead draft.
Yep.
There's talk that you may be able to implement them after the bottom eight have taken their picks. Or sorry, the bottom 10 have taken their picks. So once all the teams that have missed the finals take a pick, then the teams that get priority picks take a pick then. So that would be around pick 11, 12, around there. And the other one is at the end of the first round. Which one do you favour?
Well, midway through the first round and at the end of the first round aren't priority pick stuff. It's a priority pick if it's before the first round. So I'd totally argue in favour of before the first round.
Before the first round?
Yep. Should be priority picks before the first round. I think Carlton, and it's dire at Carlton and Gold Coast. They need priority picks. It's also not going to bail them out, just a couple of priority picks either, but it's going to help.
I like the argument of once all the teams that have missed the finals have taken their pick, then you get to take the pick. And I think the reason why I think that argument stands up philosophically to me is that some of these clubs have elected to go to the bottom. And some of these clubs have deliberately picked young teams at the expense. I mean, you look at the debate that's going on at Fremantle at the moment. Should Sandilands go on? Should he be playing? Should Michael Johnson have played as often as he did this year? You know, in previous years, should Daniel Pearce be playing? Fremantle's managed to win eight games, but they've also had one of the worst losses you can imagine in Geelong last week. Why should they be penalised for winning more games by not getting a priority pick when Carlton's basically playing kids? Brisbane went to the bottom and played kids. Gold Coast, probably through injury, has been forced to play kids. Some of these clubs have elected to be there. And what, then you give them a reward for being there?
At
the expense of a team that's actually managed. And you could argue that Carlton's list long term is better than Fremantle's. So why should Carlton get rewarded?
Yeah, they're all good points. They're all good points.
Ahead of Fremantle's.
I think you've got to look at it in. I think they look more dire. That's my argument. But I do get your point. Certainly Gold Coast, if you look at their situation, they've just been ravaged. I mean, is that their own fault? Perhaps. Partly, yes, it would be. But it's also in an unusual situation where the Gold Coast is situated. It's not a great AFL place to be. It's hard to retain players. So I think you've got to look at that side of it as well. And
I reckon I like the idea that Paul Roos had the other night on Fox Footy, and that was that take a club like Gold Coast and look at the best players in the second tier comp going around. Players, well, for example, locally, Malign Pickett's the classic example, I think. I reckon if Malign Pickett goes to Gold Coast and stands up in their training over summer, he'll play round one next year, and he will play at halfback, and he will be a valuable contributor in the sort of way that Bailey Banfield was for Fremantle, in the sort of way that Tim Kelly has been for Geelong. So that, to me, may be a better mechanism to help Gold Coast than say, more draft picks. Because if they decide to release Stephen May before he becomes a free agent, they're back at ground zero.
Yeah.
Gold Coast. And I don't think more young players necessarily helps them.
I'll tell you who I'd be keen to get up there, whether it's AFL intervention or not, is Goddard. To the Goldie, just for a couple of years.
As
an experienced, yes, as a player. I think he's still capable.
Yeah.
And I think just for a couple of years, a little bit of experience in that back half would be invaluable to the Gold Coast.
Geez, he'll need some sunscreen.
Well, he will. And I don't think he's that keen to move out of Melbourne, but tough. This is your lifeline for another 2 years. So I think he'd be a good fit for Gold Coast.
He's likely to end up as a coach, isn't he? I think he's doing a coaching course at the moment.
Yeah, I would have thought so. But I still think he's got a little bit to offer, and I think it would be a shame to see that wasted. I just see that as a really good fit.
Yep. Yeah, not a bad call. In the way that, obviously, Luke Hodge has gone to Brisbane.
Different types of players, obviously. But
they'd probably play the same position.
Yeah, they do.
And they would probably offer, just from a playing perspective, they would probably offer similar things. They would offer, you know, the great ball use out of defence and the organisation of the players around
them. There'd be a few Gold Coast players with very sore ears too, I'd imagine, if he was up there. He does like to have a bit
of a game. Not to mention the pretzels. The pretzels would take a frightful hammer at halftime up at the Gold Coast.
Oh, yeah, these pretzels are making me thirsty.
All right, quarters, we've got round 23. It's a massive round.
Cannot believe it's round 23, by the way. It's just, I shake my head. I said this when we hit the midway point. Now it's round 23. It's massive permutations everywhere this round. So
Let's get on with it.
Friday night, Port Adelaide v Essendon at Adelaide Oval. A couple of breaking news. Rockliffe out with a shoulder injury. And Billy Frampton from South Freo is going to make his debut
Hopefully
for Port Adelaide.
Hopefully he can show them the way.
Oh, very good. Very good. I was just about to jump in. I don't think he will show them the way, Duff, unfortunately. look, Port has the slightest chance, but I think the Suns have to beat the Cats. Port lost five of their last six. Goals have dried up, been smashed in contested possession, not travelling well. Essendon, I wanted to congratulate Aaron Francis for his Rising Star nomination.
Yeah,
he looks
young
a ripping player, doesn't he? Mm. In that, he's just really settled into that Essendon defence. Obviously, he was taken early in the draft, had his injury issues. He's been talked up, and I think we've seen in the past month why he's been talked up.
And his form probably signs the end of Brendan Goddard's career.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
He plays a similar role, and he was playing so well, they knew they have to keep playing him.
They've won seven of their last nine against the Power Two, and have gone okay interstate this year. So look, I'm gonna go with Essendon, the travelling team, to win this one.
Okay, I'm gonna go with Port. I think that they need to get something out of the season, and I think they'll put a lot on the line. I know they've got, you know, significant injuries now. I'm not sure that Rockliffe is that big a loss. I think all their recruits have been underwhelming. I think Motlop has had his moments. I think Jack Watts has had his moments, but fewer moments than Motlop. And I think Rockliffe hasn't had many moments at all.
Yep.
So that whole thing of loading up to try and drive yourself into the top four and take a run at it, it hasn't worked this year. That's not to say that Port Adelaide won't be a force in years to come, because they didn't really sell the farm to get these guys in.
No, I just can't see it at the moment. I take your point, and there were stages this year where they look like they might be. But for me, right now, they're a fair way off.
You know what? I reckon there's a few guys at Port Adelaide that need to get fair dinkum.
Yeah.
I think Robbie Gray is an absolute star.
He's a superstar.
And I think Travis Boak plays really well when his body allows it, but I think his body comes and goes a bit. And I'll give Ollie Wines a lot of credits as well. He's the ball in and under. You know, he wins a lot of hard ball. His big games are very big. Chad Wingard is the one I'm going to point the finger at.
Mm-hmm.
Chad Wingard, 3 or 4 years ago, was almost the most exciting young player in the AFL. He has gone absolutely nowhere in about 3 or 4 seasons. They've had to change his position to try and get more input from him. I think his disposal has gotten shoddy, and I think his football has become very hit and miss. And I think it's time for Chad Wingard to knuckle down, have a really big summer, and come back and be the player we all thought he might be about 4 seasons ago. He more than any other.
I haven't seen Wines as the force this year as well. I think he's dropped away a little bit. Maybe that's part of the, you know, the grander.
So we're split on that one?
We are. Saturday, Geelong v Gold Coast. Oh dear is all I can say about this game. Geelong can finish seventh. They can. Tommy Hawkins needs 4 to draw level for the Coleman. I think the Coleman medal is a little subplot this round too. Very interesting. Ablett's first game at home against his old team. A couple of little subplots there too. Average winning margin at home against the Suns is 80+. And
that's a close game compared to what happened there last week.
I just reckon they've come off a pretty fierce game too. Gold Coast. That Q clash was massive. But you know, big tick for Alex Sexton too. He's kicked 27, I think, this year.
Very
4
good
last
player.
Week he's been shown a lot. Tuke Miller will take one of the guns for Geelong, but I think it'll be a procession for Geelong. And I guess for me the interest will be on how many big Tommy kicks.
Yeah, well, he's in good nick, isn't he? He had that those back-to-back sevens. He kicked 6 against Fremantle last week. He had a couple of quiet games in between that. Probably there was a couple of games where I reckon he had a fair bit of the ball, played quite well, didn't kick that well. But
I have a concern for Geelong, Duff, and it may work the other way for them, but I'd be interested in your opinion. They've had a couple of soft games and another soft game and then a bye and then finals. It'd be really interesting to see how it may work in favour of them in building their confidence, but it may also work against them because they'll come up against, you know, finals footy is completely different. So
I think the problem with Geelong is that we think they're better than what they've played.
Yeah, I do.
And, I think I had them top 4, I think. I might have even had them as high as 2nd.
I had them top 6.
So you just don't know. There was the feeling with Melbourne, even though we got impatient and we started to doubt, there was the feeling with Melbourne that at some point they could lift and take a big scalp. And now we look at them, we sort of think they'll be a significant player in September. Mm. I'm still not sure what I've kind of stopped trusting Geelong.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what we get from them. There are certain aspects of their game that are really good, and there are certain other aspects of their game that...
Midfield, defence, good, good. Obviously, they've got Tom Hawkins in great form up front, but they just can't. They can't.
You say midfield and defence good?
Yes, I am.
I would say midfield defence.
Yes.
Not so good.
Yes, but I'm saying midfield and defence.
And defence, yes. Yeah. So I think that one of their problems is that when they aren't controlling the game, and clearly last week, they had complete control of the game. But when they aren't in complete control of the game, I'm not sure how well their midfield defends another very good midfield.
So just a soft bye final.
May not be a good thing.
That's right. Or it may build their confidence. But watch this space.
But they will win this weekend.
Oh, they'll be winning this week. Richmond v Western Bulldogs. The best thing for Gold Coast to be the cheap red rooster on the way out of town. But Richmond v Western Bulldogs, MCG. School of thought that the Doggies are primed for an upset here. They've won their past four. It's only their second game at the G this year. The Bont, McRae, Hunter, all in good form. Richmond can't lose top spot. I think they'll get Cochin back this week. I think they might want to get a bit of footy into him before the bye. I'm going to pick Richmond. I have complete trust in them. I don't think they drop a game for the sake of it. Tigers for me, reasonably comfortably, I think.
So you have to tip Richmond, don't you? Because if you tip the Bulldogs and you're wrong, you're going to kick yourself all the way through to next Thursday. But I reckon this is your upset alert game this weekend. So I'll be picking Richmond. But the Bulldogs are in good form. Richmond have nothing to play for. Really what Richmond want is they want to hit the qualifying final with a full deck of players. So there may be subconsciously a little bit of self-preservation kicks in. I'm making a strong case for the Bulldogs here, and then I'm going to turn around and pick Richmond.
But you can do that.
But I think, Richmond to win, but don't be surprised.
Frio v Collingwood up to Stadium. Well, we know what this means to Collingwood. Could finish top two. You would expect them to win and finish top three. And in a way, if it goes as we expect it to, I'm going to tip West Coast a bit later on, but it could be a reconnaissance mission for a final here in a couple of weeks' time.
It's very Western Bulldogs circa 2016.
Exactly. But look, Collingwood last time, you saw the small forwards take it apart, and they've travelled well this year. Frio, so I'm going to pick Collingwood. For Frio, it's so important to put the hand up here and show something, because I just think after last week's effort, the massive loss to Geelong, I think... You need a summer of hope, and they just need to show something. It's so important. It's a competitive effort from Frio. Probably get a couple back. We should mention Michael Johnson's farewell game. We're not sure if Daniel Pearce is going to play. Sandy's a possibility to come back. So there'll be a bit of experience there. I think it'll be a better effort from Frio, but I think Collingwood will win this one. There's a lot too much to lose.
Yeah, I hope they play Daniel Pearce. I've never been a great fan of Daniel Pearce's, but I think that he's been at Fremantle long enough and done enough and played in enough of Fremantle's significant moments to be running around at Optus Stadium.
Can I say something about Daniel Pearce too, mate? I just think, you know, I'm the same. I've been a critic of Daniel Pearce's too, of his position on the list. But he's gone back to Peel, and he's been amongst the best players every week. And it would be pretty easy to put your tail between your legs and just not show up. But he's shown up every week for Peel, so it's a real testament to his character for
it
that.
May be, you know what, it may be that...
he doesn't want it.
Zach Dawson didn't want it. So it may be that Daniel Pearce has said, this is my lot. I'm going to walk around with my chest out and my chin up, and I'm going to show that I can go out the right way, holding my head up, not dropping my bundle, getting my 30 touches a game, being a very worthy contributor at Peel. And that is the testament that I want to my character in my last season as an AFL player. Or it may be that he would like to run around in the purple one more time. I think, I would hope, if he wants to, I would hope that he gets his wish. Because I just think that, as I say, I haven't been a great fan, and I think that maybe his last contract, I think, was a hastily signed contract on the club's behalf. But I do think that he's been there long enough, he's been in enough significant moments of Fremantle, that if he wanted this, I think he should be granted this. And it's not like... It's not like they won't have a long list of candidates to drop off the back of last weekend.
Very good call. Very good call. You know, at his best, I think he missed their premiership, didn't he, Ports? He wasn't around for their flag.
Yes, he did, yeah.
But he certainly played in their losing grand final yeah. And he played in a losing grand final for Freo. So, and 200-plus games, you don't play that many.
250.
250 man. Games, mm. You don't play that many unless you've got something. So it's been a great career. It needs to be applauded. Let's hope he bows out in whichever way he wishes. Michael Johnson, again.
Their best Indigenous player.
Indigenous player. And not only, you know, obviously he's got the runs on the board as well, but it was, you know, very, very important to Freo's structure when they were up and about top as a top two club.
Michael Johnson is a player who's made all Australian teams, has finished, you know, high up, top three in best and fairest. I think he finished second in their best and fairest in 2006 when they made a preliminary final. So Michael Johnson has been a significant player for Fremantle over a significant period of time. And well done to him. I would like to think they'll lift and compete really strongly this week. I think Collingwood is a little bit Richmond-esque in terms of they have a strong method. They believe very strongly in the method now, and that will carry them very well over here this weekend. I just hope that Fremantle responds by giving a stronger effort and a stronger performance. As you say, give their fans something to believe in over summer, and that requires a very competitive effort this weekend.
Yep. Carlton v Adelaide Etihad Stadium. Carlton, should it lose, and I expect the Blues to lose, lowest win tally in 100 years. Just ticking off those very sad milestones at the moment, Carlton. If there's an upside, they've given youth plenty of go this year. Dow's been great. Cripps have win their best and fairest in a canter.
Charlie Curnow's come good.
Charlie Curnow as well. Against Adelaide, won four of the past six. Disappointing year, but I think still with enough experience and enough form. Crouch has been in just ripping form. McGovern and Jenkins v Marchbank Wiedering will, you know, decide how much this game will be determined by, but I think Adelaide reasonably comfortably.
So what you don't want if you're Adelaide is to go out with your tail between your legs beaten by Carlton.
Yeah, they haven't looked like that in recent weeks.
No.
So I'd expect a pretty bold showing, and you want that to build on something for next year.
Yep.
It's just been a crappy year for them. So
I agree. And I think Adelaide will want to finish in the right way, and I think they'll beat Carlton.
Yeah, talking about incentives, Sydney v Hawthorn playing for fourth spot at the SCG, the double chance. And is it Kennett Curse 2.0?
I heard the quotes. I mean, seriously, sometimes journos clutch for a story.
Oh, we love it, though.
They needed the long tongs and a ladder and someone holding their legs while they leaned over to reach for that one.
I like that. That's a great
metaphor. That was a fair old stretch, that one.
So 21-22 in nine games. There's been a bit of inaccuracy in there. Certainly had a big hand in their last win over the Hawks. I think the it won't necessarily be Buddy. It'll be the likes of Ronke and Haywood and Papley and these guys that will determine this game. I'm going to stick with my boys for now. There is a question mark over Buddy. There's also a question mark over Frawley at Hawthorn. But I'm going to stick with the Hawks.
I think we had the discussion on Tuesday as to what Buddy means to Sydney and what Frawley means to Hawthorn.
Well, yeah, that's right. clearly, I err in that judgment. But Frawley is still important.
One is a tree trunk and one is a chip.
That's right. One's a whole potato farm. But Bruce Gunston, good to see Jack Gunston re-signed too for a lengthy stretch at Hawthorn, and Smith O'Meara. Hewitt will get Mitchell. It'll be a fascinating game in the midfield. Be a fascinating to and fro this game. It won't be a blowout by any means. You know, I have a bottle of wine with our cartoonist Greg Smith, who's a mad Sydney fan, and we basically say to each other, let's just swap game by game, because that's what we do. I'm going to pick the Hawks, but it's a flip of the coin.
So it's a superstar swap game, quarters.
It is.
Tommy Mitchell from Sydney to the Hawks, and
true.
Franklin from Hawthorn to Sydney.
It is a superstar.
It was probably
swap
a bit
game.
Of a tit for tat with that one, wasn't they, when they went after Tommy Mitchell? Yeah. My problem with Sydney is that I love what they've done, and you know what you're going to get with Sydney, and they turn up and play, and if you can get above a certain level, you can beat them, but you have to get above that certain level. I think that all of their recent wins, while they show great character, I think they all have a little bit of an asterisk attached. I felt that they got Collingwood when Collingwood were on their knees with injuries, and they just beat them. I thought they got Melbourne when Melbourne squandered opportunity and probably didn't handle the moment, and they just beat them. And I thought, well, let's face it, GWS for the third week in a row were down to 18 fit men. Their captain and the bloke they would have played on Buddy was injured at half time and couldn't go back onto Buddy, which meant they had to play people on Buddy who were poorly equipped for the matchup, and Buddy took them to school. So I give Sydney credit for what they've done, but not as much as I would normally give them. And I'm going to go with your boys. I think Hawthorn have a good record at the SCG. The ground won't scare them. They'll have the experience to handle the occasion and the venue, and I think they can win.
So let's just assume it all goes as expected. So we probably got a Richmond Hawthorn first up final.
Yep.
And probably West Coast Collingwood.
Probably.
I would assume.
Yeah.
So on to Sunday at the Gabba, and Brisbane v West Coast. We know what's at stake, and it's pretty simple for West Coast. You win this, you finish top two, and your possibility to play two home finals should you win your first one. So I think there's so much at stake here. No Josh Kennedy, as we know. We're not sure about Jack Darling. I still think there's enough potency in that West Coast midfield and forward line to kick enough goals. Brisbane's clearly a much better, a very difficult proposition at home and away this year. Won five games and lost five by 7 points or fewer. That's what I'm talking about with Brisbane. But I'm going to pick West Coast. I know it is a tough game for them. Brisbane's more than capable here, and will want to go out as they have the second half of the season. But I think West Coast too much to lose.
I reckon I know what West Coast are going to bring to this game, and that is they want second spot. They've had a great year. The last thing they want to do is throw it all away at the Gabba on the last game against a team that is down the bottom. I don't know what Brisbane are going to bring. So Brisbane, on the one hand, they're a team that has shown great improvement this year. They've been very strong with their effort and performance all year, and they started to harvest wins towards the back end of the year. And I guess the question is, will their young players look at that as they run out on the ground on the weekend and think, gee, we've made some progress, can't wait for the beers on Monday? Or will they run out thinking, let's really make a point about where we are and where we're headed next year?
And that's, I reckon, where a Luke Hodge comes into play. Mm-hmm. That's his absolute value to that squad. He'll be running around, I guarantee, at training this week, advising against that attitude.
Yeah.
Telling them that, yeah, those beers will be very nice, but let's get this done first. I think West Coast has got a hell of a game on their hands, particularly if Brisbane gets it on their terms. We know what an exciting attacking team they are if they get it on their terms. I just think West Coast, they weren't that bad against Melbourne. You know, Melbourne jumped them. It was a great effort by Melbourne, but West Coast just did not turn their toes up at any stage and just kept at it and at it and at it.
Yeah, and they were down. You know, when Jack Darling goes down 15 minutes into the game, West Coast are four significant players off their best.
Yep.
Now, I know Jesse Hogan and Jack Viney aren't running around for Melbourne. So Melbourne had significant outs as well. You could argue Jaden Hunt in that mix as well. But to lose one of your keys mid-match on top of three that aren't playing, that's a big loss for a club. If Jack Darling doesn't get up quarters, this becomes a 50-50 game.
Yeah, I'm still giving it a 60-40, even if he doesn't get up, I reckon. The real pity for West Coast is they weren't able to lock the top two away last week, because I think there's a few sore boys in there.
Yeah.
And they would have preferred to have had a bit of a longer rest, but they get a rest next week, and that's what it's all about.
West Coast for me.
Yeah, and me.
Just consider your tip carefully, I would say, if it comes to pass that Jack Darling doesn't get out there.
The team that beat them last week, Melbourne, plays GWS, and had Melbourne not won, this would have been a very arguably the most important game of the round, because Melbourne would have been playing for a final spot. They've locked it in now. There's a lot of excitement around Melbourne town about this team. First finals appearance in 12 years. GWS too banged up for mine. I want to give Phil Davis a big tick last week. Banged up against Sydney early, stayed on the ground so it didn't over-affect their rotations. And you could see him at halftime just struggling in the dressing room, barely able to walk. Yet he runs out there and puts his body on the line in contest. Ripping effort from Phil Davis. I'd be shocked if he gets up this week. I think they're just too... I think Melbourne, the monkey's off the back now. This could be a bit of a savage loss for GWS, unfortunately. I think Melbourne will win this one pretty comfortably. I want to ask you your opinion on Jeremy Cameron. He's been maligned this week, and probably with some justification. I mean, he does kick the goals, but does he run hard enough the other way?
Yeah, good question. Some players, because of their body language and their running style, they never look like they're really going lickety-split. And other players, the effort is obvious.
You think he's just a languid player?
I think he's got languid movement, yeah. He's not your classic Wayne Carey, split a pack in half, take the big mark, you know, be the target to aim that player.
He split a pack in half this year.
He split a Harris Andrews in half.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
So I think he's a different type of player. What I want to see from Jeremy Cameron is to put himself in good spots to give himself six looks at goal a game, and I want to see him kicking four of them.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see.
Going to have to happen, and Himmelberg will have to have a few, as well as the midfielders, for them to win. And you've got a bit of goal-kicking ability at the other end too with McDonald and Melksham too.
Quarters, I just wonder, and I'll go back to the Doggies in 2016 here, I just wonder whether GWS's best percentage play to become a serious player in September is to not put their eggs in this basket.
To just lose this game.
Well, not tank it, but understand that you could put everything on the line here, trying to clamber back into the top four, still not get there if Collingwood and Hawthorn win, and then be beaten up going into the first week of September. I wonder whether the percentage play for GWS is, if you're sore, you're not playing in this game, and we're getting ready for an elimination final in 2 weeks' time, and we will be a force to be reckoned with in that elimination final. I think what we do know about these guys is that if their best or close to their best is out there, I think they can beat anyone in the competition.
Yeah.
So start September in a position where you can beat anyone in the competition week one, and then just take it 1 week at a time from there. The other one's Dylan Scheel, Quarters.
Yeah.
Big noise that he's on the move.
Yeah. And that he's gettable. And has his critics as well, Dylan Scheel.
Yeah, I think that's harsh.
Yeah, I do too. He's been pretty good for them.
I'd like Dylan Scheel as my second midfielder, let alone my fifth.
Player we haven't mentioned too is just sensational last week was Harms.
Yeah, he was outstanding. I had him as Melbourne's best last weekend.
Yeah. Obviously, it'll be interesting to see who he gets.
Well, he goes to Kelly, doesn't he?
Or Coniglio. Just not sure what they do there. But I think we're both going Melbourne.
We're both going Melbourne. Yeah.
Finally, St Kilda v North Melbourne at Etihad Stadium. And St Kilda, good effort against the Hawks last week. Probably should have beaten them. Just a little bit of experience at the end got Hawthorn over the line. Jack Loney, four goals. Big tick for him. Been a bit of a dreadful year. I'm going to pick North. Really, for me, the real interest in this game is Ben Brown and whether he takes off the Coleman. He'll be the last to play, so he'll have a look at the leaderboard of the Coleman. He's two off Rewald at the moment, so he'll have a look at that and he'll know. Now, I know there's been a lot of noise from North and from Ben Brown this week saying, you know, if there's a handball over the top and I'm a chance to win, I'll be handballing over the top. But, you know, I reckon his teammates will be looking for him if it gets pretty comfortable.
Yeah, it's got to get pretty comfortable before you start.
And I don't mind those games. I reckon it adds a little bit of intrigue. If we've sorted out the final eight, all the, you know, and now it's just about the Coleman. Yep. Could be a really interesting last game for that.
Yeah, I'm going to tip North. I just think that with the season that North has had, and they were pretty brave right up to the end against Adelaide last week.
They've had a good year.
Yeah, you don't want to go out with a whimper.
No one had them in the frame. In fact, most people had them in the bottom two.
And I had them bottom three.
I had them in the bottom three. So it's been a good year for them.
Absolutely. The Saints, they were very good last week. The Jacks are so important to...
Five of them.
...to the Saints, aren't they? Billings, Loney, Nunes in particular, I reckon.
Stevens
is a bit older, but in terms of the young players that can evolve into really good players, those three Jacks, I think, are...
How old is Stevens?
So he really first established himself in the team around 2011. I think he was on the list for a couple of years before then. He'd be climbing to high 20s. Probably around Stephen Hill's
age. One of those players, right? I like him. I like him as a footballer. He's one of those players who does get the job done, but just looks anything but a footballer when he runs out there. Yeah. Just looks like he needs a good pre-season. But he's played some pretty good footy. So,
But the Jacks are the ones I always watch with St Kilda, because I'm looking for evidence that Billings and Loney, in particular, can become regular. And the other one, of course, is Gresham.
And they've shown signs of it this year, but with no consistency. That's
been their problem.
Yeah. And that's across the board at the Saints. So
they, there's a great saying, Quarters, the AFL, footy is about how well you can play, but the AFL is about how often you can play well.
Yeah.
And St Kilda have too many guys who don't play well often enough.
Yeah, and they do need a couple of big hits in the off-season.
Yeah, or they need those guys to all knuckle down, get really fair dinkum, and all take a significant step up.
If those guys knuckle down and get fair dinkum and they have a couple of big hits in the off-season, then we can have them knocking on the door of the eight.
Well, they're throwing money at everyone. Mm. There may be an offer to Malcolm Turnbull, given events
of
today.
Yeah, well.
He may get a contract at St Kilda too.
Yeah, too inconsistent, Duff.
North for me.
Yeah, same.
All right, well, thank you very much for joining us today. Hope you tip well. Hope you finish off your tipping season very strongly for the home and away season, that is. Obviously, some competitions will go through into September and the finals. Good luck with it all. Good luck for your team's final home and away game. Glenn Quartermain and I will be back on Tuesday for Tab Touch to dissect the round, to look at the top eight, and to talk about what final series may be ahead of us.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.